This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Pete Dillon. Did you just hear me grunting?
Yes, I was doing a little throat clear.
We're both clearing our throats. We've got the lovely David Hunt on panel with us tonight. We'd like to thank him for stepping in to the breach at the very last minute because our regular panellist is, you know, away.
Off doing stuff, and it is, of course, a very late hour. So we're grateful for anybody who joins us in the studio at this very late time.
Because it's been Melbourne's coldest morning on record this year. It was a balmy 3 degrees when I got up this morning.
We're a bit closer. The weather thing this morning, the people said that the weather in Laverton, which is a little up the road from me, 0 degrees.
Well, maybe because I'm in Williamstown.
I think we get a bit of that Hobson's Bay southerly wind that comes.
Something was very wrong this morning.
Did you walk the dog?
No.
Sebby wouldn't care for it either.
No. Lola just refused to get out of bed. It's like, I don't think so. Just looked at me like I was bonkers. But hey, coming off a really nice long weekend.
Well,
you had, Casa Gastro, and I had a little festival of me.
Getting.
You know, I went to a really great dinner party on Saturday night and went to the Mind, Body and Soul Fair yesterday where I saw the Scientology people doing testing on an 8-year-old kid.
That should be banned. It should be illegal.
Well, I tweeted it to A Current Affair and they followed up.
Oh.
Well, they're following Scientology as an ongoing news item.
Yes.
So I was a little bit outraged. But, you know, I went and got my hippie on.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad at all. Well, you know, there were lots of,
a bit of a waft of patchouli around the place.
Oh, there was. There was. There was the odd bit of hemp and
smoking or wearing?
Wearing and some dubious hair that is best removed in certain areas. So it did get a bit whiffy.
Yes, I can only
imagine.
But
we did have a really good time. I'm really glad we went. Look, we've got a really good show tonight.
Massive show, as always.
We're going to talk about the ongoing argy-bargy around studies that are promoting the traumatic impact of gay parenting. Interestingly, this article's coming out of Texas where they promote laws that allow people to refuse service of any kind to gay people.
Exactly.
So we can chat about that. We're going to review the sunrise stoush between Karen Phelps and Jim Wallace, which was
Friday
a beautiful
I Do.
That was really good because we spoke to the I Do people last Tuesday
night.
So we're going to follow up on that as a news item. Look, in my research in the last couple of days, I've come across a young lad called Caden Cowger. And he's a little 14-year-old teen, a little conservative dude from the US that has a radio show that he also podcasts video-wise, vodcast. And he's promoting the idea that Obama is making young people gay. So we're going to play that audio tonight. We're going to share
Obama's
his Twitter handle because, we might actually like people to kind of share some equality messages with this young lad.
Well,
so
it's a bit of learning. I don't think it'd do him any harm.
I don't think so either. We've got some great songs. We're going to play Hallelujah from Carice last night.
Oh, my God. Did you watch The Voice?
I didn't, but I watched your tweets, so I knew exactly what was going on because it was blow by Pete Dillon.
Oh, look, it was an incredibly... I love that piece of music, and
it's one of our favourite songs together.
Is,
we love
yes.
that song.
This girl's story. She's gone through homelessness. She's gone through all manner of strife, and has this incredible weapon, which is her voice, and she's using it. And she's got down to she's in the grand final, and Sunday night, if anybody tries to
and
contact
she's a,
me,
a little bit of a minority in her own right. So that really, that's quite powerful for me. And she's really humble. So we're going to play a little bit of her. There's a bit of Dolly Parton
and a
mystery track if we get time, but we're creeping up to sort of five past 11-ish, so why don't we lead on with Carice Eden singing Hallelujah? What do you reckon?
That'd be beautiful. The amazing Carice Eden, isn't she phenomenal?
Look, I think she's all kinds of fantastic, to be honest. I just think we're going to see a lot more of her. She feels like Janis Joplin for me, but without the OD and the phone box, obviously.
I was watching her sing that last night, and it was like she was channeling Janis. It was just, and I'm a huge Janis Joplin fan.
They're making comparisons to KD and Jeff Buckley, and I think she's of that caliber, but I think she's got the raw passion. The raw passion. I'd be very keen to see what she does post The Voice. And, I actually don't know that she'll win it. I think Darren Percival will take it out. I've got one of his CDs. The dude's just an absolute genius.
Yeah, I'm all for Carice or Sarah DeBono, the girl with the red hair.
Fantastic. I'm less enthused about the young Rachel.
I think
she might be punching above her weight, and
absolutely.
I think she's there because She's different. A bit different.
Mm.
But we love difference.
Oh, of course
and we love
do.
A bit of diversity. So let's talk about...
The gay parents.
Let's talk about the gay parents. Look, I read this today in the Herald, Pete, and it's an opinion piece by Susie O'Brien, who... She's got a fair few opinions about a fair few things. I guess that's why she's an opinion writer.
Mm. Some of those are, I would believe, ill-informed.
Yes, I think... Mm. Yes, I would be in agreement with that. So, look, the University of Texas has studied 3,000 young adults aged between 18 and 39 and found those with gay parents earned less money, had poorer mental health, poorer relationships, and were more likely to be on welfare. This is sort of an international item, but it's got an Australian flavour.
Yeah, it does, very much so.
You know, she was sort of tackling whether or not this was a fair representation of gay parenting. And my big issue about this is I suspect she hasn't really done her homework and looked at the homosexuality laws in Texas.
Well, correct.
Because if you're gay in Texas, you just don't have any rights at all. You're chucked in jail for a myriad of things. So, look, you know, the point she did make, which I liked, was that she's saying that the point is that any kind of family instability is hard for kids, regardless of whether the parents are gay or straight.
Correct.
And we're going to talk a little bit about this later with the Jim Wallace stuff, where he accuses Karen of, you know, you can't possibly be a father to your children. Well, yeah, that's correct.
Was he also using Nazism again?
Oh, look, the Nazi stuff is gold. We've just got to play it shortly. So, look,
She, Susie O'Brien, is...
I don't know. I just feel like maybe she could have said more about the stability of gay parenting, because we know there's a few stories coming out of the US about some studies of kids that have been raised by lesbian mums.
Who are, in fact, doing better than kids that are raised in heterosexual households. Two lines in this that first struck me. The first is, she says, the real problem with this study is it doesn't compare like with like.
I don't know what she means by that.
Well, she means that it doesn't necessarily mean that they've interviewed all parents, all gay parents. She probably hasn't done a comparative study, or the university hasn't done a comparative study between the children of heterosexual broken homes. So they're comparing kids who have grown up in environments where mum and dad have been married for 20 years.
Whereas we don't have that option to raise our children in a married environment.
Correct.
So you're not really comparing apples with apples.
Mm. And then she also says that, the study also doesn't compare kids that have come from stable homosexual homes, because most of those homes, most of those parents have either been in heterosexual relationships and then, you know, became honest with themselves a little later on, and therefore there is always going to be some instability in those situations. The second line says, to put it simply, the gay parents in the study are not representatives of all gay mums and dads. And I think that's a really nice summary of what this study is about. It's not comparative.
Pete, you know, if this is run out of Texas, how many people are going to put their hand up and say, "Hey, I'm a homo," and do you know what I mean? If you're applying this research in a state where the environment for homosexuals is all based on sanction and illegality, surely that is going to impact on your mental health and your ability to function as an individual on an everyday basis.
And it will
have a ripple effect on everything. So, you know, the broader context here is the issue around Texas and its lack of equality and how that just trickles down.
A couple of other things that she says towards the end of this piece. We know people who get married are more likely to stay together than those that just cohabit. And we know that the kids of married parents are more likely to have stable, prosperous lives. So why not let gay couples get married and ensure all the benefits that follow are equally available to the children of gay parents? And I think if that's the case, then this study would be moot.
I think so.
Let's move on to Sydney.
There's an oxymoron I need to discuss with you.
Yes.
Gay and liberal.
Well, look, this is becoming a little more frequent. I don't know if you know Tim Wilson, who's an occasional presenter here on Joy. He used to present Spin on a Tuesday night and was actually a co-host of SatMag for Radiothon Saturday before last. He's very much a liberal. He's part of the IPA.
What's an IPA?
IPA is a Institute of Public Affairs,
right,
which is
not paraliberals.
No, it's a right wing think tank.
Okay.
And Tim's very much a part of that organisation.
Good on him.
Tim's very blue blood liberal. If we move up to Sydney, gay Liberal councillor Shane Mallard has announced that he'll step aside as a candidate for the position of Sydney Lord Mayor, so he can run for the seat of Sydney in the New South Wales Parliament. There's going to be a by-election. And he's been encouraged by Premier Beryl O'Farrell and the federal member for Wentworth, Malcolm Turnbull, to have a tilt at this seat of Sydney. It's interesting because he's running against another openly gay Liberal in Adrian Bartels. Now, Bartels has been sort of popped his hand up a little while ago and said that he was going to seek this seat in Sydney as well. And so we've got a bit of an interesting situation in the city of Sydney, in the seat of Sydney, that we've got two openly gay candidates who are going to go against one another, and they're from the same party seeking pre-selection.
What's their position on marriage equality?
Well, probably the Liberal position, which is no.
Or just, you know, let's go a civil union route.
Interestingly, this leaves the door open for Clover Moore to again take the Lord Mayoral role, because she's an independent and there's really no... Labor haven't determined a candidate to run against her as Lord Mayor. So therefore, we've now got Clover Moore, who's pretty much got an open slather run for Lord Mayor of Sydney again.
Mm.
And, you know, whilst she's amid some controversy whether she should hold a state seat as well, which she does. She holds a state seat, mm-hmm. And she also holds the position of the Lord Mayor.
It's interesting. It feels a bit like double dipping.
It is a bit, and that's sort of one of the stories that's about around Clover Moore. But we'll keep a very close eye on that.
It'll be very interesting to see what they declare as a position around all matters of quality.
Mm, well, given the seat takes in Surry Hills and Paddington and Newtown, and, you know, it's the seat of Sydney, Homo Central.
Mm. Indeed. Mm. So, look, let's move on to the organisation of Intersex International, which is an Australian-based organisation.
Can we just call it OI?
Oi. Aussie. They've released a submission to the American Psychiatric Association in response to a draft version of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It used to be my Bible when I was a psychologist, and I was always aware that anything relating to transgender or gender dysmorphia was considered a mental disorder.
Hand in my heart, I have to say I haven't read it.
That's okay. You're not missing much, really. OI's president is Gina Wilson, and said that in the submission they were opposing some of the language used by the APA. And this is good, because you know that I've got a particular bee in my bonnet around the language of equality, that we need to move away
Indeed.
From marriage,
mm-hmm.
and we need to focus on the language of equality and the discrimination that it produces in terms of the lack of. So she's stating that we regard the proposed classification of gender dysphoria as problematic in the way that it relates to intersex people who reject an arbitrarily assigned gender. So
what's an arbitrarily assigned gender, do you think? Maybe they were forced into a particular gender?
Tony Briffa.
Like a good mate, Tony Briffa, yes.
You know, where the parents are faced with that call. You know, this child would be X or Y.
Mm.
So they're also saying that they don't like the pathologising language that defines intersex variations as disorders of sex development. So they're saying that all of this is a form of minority distress. And look, I think very broadly, Pete, this is an exercise in consolidation of language.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, having worked within this profession, it's got a long way to go around the way that they manage the language of gender and dysmorphia and whether or not that's a psychiatric illness. I don't think it is.
No, it's not. I think two things that I pulled out of here. The first is, we're concerned that clients and the general public are negatively affected by the continued and continuous medicalization of their natural and normal responses to their experience. And the second line, we believe that classifying these problems as illnesses misses the relational context of problems and the undeniable social causation of many such problems. So look, I would hope that this study gets some airing at that international level. Why don't we have a couple of messages? This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. Have a couple of messages and we'll return.
And then I want to talk to you about coffee.
Oh, okay. You know, okay. I love coffee.
All righty.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Alison. I love how she pops in to do that. Such
Alison
a lovely voice.
Alison Moyer in the foyer.
Yes.
Had such a crush on that voice. I don't think I ever want to meet her. I just want to hear the dulcet tones.
She could read you the phone book.
Well, she could, you know.
She could.
And I wouldn't be able to keep myself nice in the process. Let me give you the hot tip.
We're still on some national news. This is Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9.
It is Joy 94.9. Look, I have a particular issue with Gloria Jean's, and I have a rule in my family that no child in my life is allowed to work for them.
Correct.
Do you want to share the reason why?
Well, for me, I've had a boycott on Gloria Jean's for about 5 years because I want no part of it. They've rushed to distance themselves from the Australian Christian Lobby and Hillsong Church as the news spreads of their recent hefty financial donation to the ACL. In the 2010-2011 tax year, they donated $30,000 to the Australian Christian Lobby. They say it's a one-off donation during the time of the election in support of the prime ministerial debate, but I think that's a pile of hoo-ha.
I think they're on the record for a really long time being a very generous and openly supportive champion of the ACL and all things Christian.
Well, they've been supportive of Hillsong, and we know that a division of Hillsong, the Mercy Ministries, have done a lot of, or attempted a lot of reparative therapy on women, particularly lesbians, to try and change them and to change their sexuality. These ex-gay therapies, which is part of its ministry, that's well known. The Gloria Jean's figures are leaders or senior figures in the Hillsong Church, so that's known. They've denied their franchise network is providing financial support to Hillsong, but this $30,000 donation in the 2010-11 financial year to the Australian Christian Lobby just smacks of...
In support of prime ministerial debate only, I think that's a crock. I think it's an absolute crock. And if you look at Starbucks, for instance, who have come out in support of equality for gay and lesbians, these guys have got a long way to go.
It's just a shame that they make such bad coffee. Queensland's tip of the iceberg. Do tell.
Well, you know, we're following this again. This is the
quirk.
Well, this is, yeah, quirk. It's the Queensland, what's the name of it? Queensland Healthy Communities. They're a gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex health organisation. Since Campbell Newman went into power a couple of months ago, he's stripped the $2.5 million funding from this organisation, saying that basically HIV rates have gone up, so these guys aren't doing their job properly, so they've sanctioned them in that way. He's saying that they're failing in their missed, that the Health Minister, Lawrence Springborg, is saying that Quark has actually failed in its mission to promote sexual health and that they were becoming too politically active. I think it's really interesting, you know, when you're in an environment that doesn't support who you are and how you want to be and where you find your pleasure is severely restricted, would that relate to you taking more chances? I think it might.
Potentially.
It might relate to more risk-taking behaviours if your mental health is impacted by surrounding discrimination. So there's a filmmaker called John Duffy, and he's done an independently produced video called The Tip of the Iceberg, and it's created to expose the actions taken by the government threatened by the only health org that's encouraged members in our community to speak out and demand equality in health. So basically, it's this video, we're going to try and find it. It's just starting the dialogue in Queensland to get people questioning what they're being told.
And this follows on from that enormous rally that we spoke about last week where there were several thousand people.
I'm loving Queensland. They are absolutely getting their rage on. It's fantastic.
Which is fantastic. Sex workers are now speaking out for law reform. There's a 29-year-old by the name of Christian Vega who has spoken up about his role in the sex industry as the campaign continues for various Australian states to loosen up their prostitution laws. He's 29 years old. He said, for a lot of people, sex workers are their only form of sexual expression. There is nothing wrong with those people, which we would agree with, I assume. Sex work helps him supplement the small income he makes in doing a job in the community sector that he's passionate about. In New South Wales, there are estimated 10,000 sex workers, with a fair percentage of them working in the queer community, which is it's a very high number. I was a little surprised by that. Private sex work is legal in most of Australia, but some states ban brothel work, and most of them ban street work. So this young man has stood up and said, we as a community, we have a choice. Do we make these people's lives harder than they already are, or do we support them as part of our community? So he's calling for some law change, and we thought that was...
Well, I think it's part of the progression of changing the language around what it is that we do and how we choose to do it. I worry about people in the sex industry when it's deregulated because they're at risk and they have no rights and they have no protection. And, you know, if we can, you know, assist anyone in making that change at a policy level, then I think that can only be a good thing.
Yes. Now, on Friday morning of last week...
Sunrise!
Sydney and Melbourne had an I Do campaign. There was one here in Bourke Street. Went for a couple of hours. There were some very well-known people along to support that that campaign. It happened in Martin Place in Sydney outside the studios of Channel 7 Sunrise. On the program, following on from something a bit earlier in the week, there was, again, a very heated debate, and I think that's the nicest way of putting it, between Dr. Karen Phelps, who is a marriage equality advocate.
And she's a strong supporter of our show, and we rate her really highly. Look, you know, from the get-go, it was set up like a proper debate. They were both in stalls and, you know, in these little podiums. And Jim Wallace has a particularly hostile stance on anything relating to gay and lesbian issues. And so, you know, Karen actually burst out of the blocks, and she was saying that his claim that the European Human Rights Court stated that marriage equality is not a human right. She said, you've misquoted the European Court of Human Rights, just like you misquote the Bible. So, look, I think what we need to do is let's have a listen. It goes for about 7.5 minutes. We'd like people to really listen to it because it's gold. And we'll come back and have a quick chat about it.
Australia in danger of falling behind the rest of the world on this issue?
We've already fallen behind the rest of the world on this issue. In fact, Australia is the only English-speaking democracy now where the leader of the country does not support marriage equality. Now we have the New Zealand leader saying he will support that legislation when it comes to Parliament. Barack Obama is in support. All of the other English-speaking nations are in support. So we have.
Do they all have legislation, though? How many have legislation?
Many have legislation. A lot of them have legislation pending. Certainly, if you look globally, we have countries like Argentina, a lot of states in the USA, Spain, Portugal. We have France moving towards marriage equality. So the movement is very strong around the world.
Well, I'd just like to take that up because that's an absolute nonsense, Karen, and you know it. You know, we have 196 countries in the world. 10 of them have legislated for same-sex marriage. So we're not, despite this normal spin that's put on it by people like you, we are not in a situation of falling behind the rest of the world. We are right there with the rest of the world in recognising that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I would like to just say that I think this whole campaign would do great credit to Joseph Goebbels, you know, because what we've had is we've had the demonisation.
Hang on, that's a bit emotional. Let's stick to the fact. You tell us what's wrong with same-sex marriage.
No, I will, but you've
we're
changed
here for a debate.
You've changed the rules, and I'm going to make this point first of all.
You can't start accusing people of being Nazis.
I am accusing Seven and Sunrise of getting into this campaign as a foreign affairs and news show as an activist, right?
Did you think that when we had issues, followed up issues on superannuation?
No, you're not.
organ transplant?
Yeah, you are not following up this issue. You have come on as an activist.
Well, give you a chance.
Well,
talk to us.
Give us your view. You have partnered.
Don't slag us.
No, I'm just
give
saying.
Give us your view.
What's wrong
with same-sex marriage?
Well, first of all, the issue is that marriage is about children. It's about enshrining in our legislation that marriage is between a man and a woman because of children. Because motherhood and fatherhood are important. And there are consequences. Motherhood and fatherhood are not important.
Every day of the week at the moment, men and women are getting married with no intention of having children and with no biological possibility of having children.
That makes no difference to the intention of marriage, which is.
You're telling me two people in their 70s have an intention to have children? Absolute nonsense. You're not speaking rational sense.
That is nonsense.
Jim, is this one of those issues, like women voting and Aborigines not being able to walk into the front door of a pub, where the times are changing and we have to, as a society, change our views? Do you think that?
No, because those issues were all around issues of discrimination. Now, it's been world proven. Everybody knows there is no discrimination against gay couples. They have all the rights of de facto couples. And why aren't all the de facto couples in Australia out there demonstrating about this if this is the case? It's also not a human rights issue, because the European Court of Human Rights, as recently as last March, had said this is not a human rights issue.
You are misquoting the European Court of Human Rights, just like you misquote the Bible consistently. The European Court of Human Rights, what they said was that this was an issue to be handed to the sovereign nations of Europe. We've had countries like America, Canada, South Africa, who have said this is a human rights issue. So you are selectively choosing one statement and taking it out of context, which is what you do all the time. If you are truly representative of Christians, why are you not protecting the rights of children who are being raised by same-sex couples whose parents do not have the right to marry currently?
I must say, it's not just Christians. Jewish religion, Islam, you know, it's all of the churches.
Well, it's 50% of Australians. I mean, amazingly, and this is where I get annoyed at the press, Koshy, and that is that we had a Galaxy poll, only in May, that recorded that only 50% of the population support this. And yet it was reported as an increase in the support for gay marriage, whereas the Galaxy poll last August said that 60% supported it. Now, you know, there is simply no fair go out of the press on this, and now we have a current affairs and news program, an active participant as a campaigner.
We're having a debate because we're giving both people the sides. On that point, Karen, Cameron has emailed in, like a lot of people have, and said, as a Conservative, this campaign makes me feel like my views are insignificant and they're irrelevant. A lot of people think that way. What do you say to that?
This is actually an issue for both sides of politics. I think whether you're conservative or progressive, if you're progressive, this is about social progress. If you're a conservative, this is about people committing themselves to each other, lifelong, to interdependence, to mutual support, to the raising of children if they so wish, in an environment of legal protection. And so whether you're conservative or progressive, and that is why now at least 63% of Australians are supporting marriage equality, in excess of 80%. Of Australians are saying it's inevitable.
My, like, it divides my family. We have a really healthy debate on this. Why are you so hung up on the term marriage? Because a civil union gives you all the legal rights, all the fairness, everything on running a life. Like, do you go to church?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so is this a religious issue for you? Because there are a lot of religious...
I was married in a religious service in 1998, and my religion, which is Progressive Judaism, actually supports marriage equality, as does now
but
the conservative
why
Jewish
the use of the marriage
the
because it upsets so many people when, in terms of running your life, it makes no difference, does
why
it?
Why can't it be a civil union certificate? Why does it have to be the marriage?
Let me say, let's take a heterosexual couple and say to them, OK, we are going to have equality now, and so you can have a civil union, and same-sex couples can have a civil union, and so that it's a level playing field. And if heterosexual couples wish to have a marriage and same-sex couples wish to have a marriage, then that's a level playing field as well. This is about equality.
But the logic that follows from that is that if we are going to change marriage to whoever you love, it's only about love. Then, as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, we have polyamorous making demands for marriage, and we have polygamous making demands for marriage, and we are concerned about the best interests of children. We saw last name is impronounceable, but one of the polyamorous out there last week in the papers saying that it's a very confused and complex business, but nonetheless we move through it with joy. But what about the children that are in that situation?
I am thrilled that you've raised this issue of polygamy, because in every nation where polygamy is legal, being gay is illegal. And in every country where same-sex marriage is... In every country where same-sex marriage is legal, polygamy is illegal. Yeah. And to add to that, in every country where same-sex marriage has become legal, this is the desperate argument of people who know that they've lost the plot.
Well, okay, that quick is final nonsense. Word from Jim.
If this is your trump card, that is
word.
The joker.
Karen, let's let Jim have the final word.
Marriage is there for a good purpose for society and for children. And it doesn't matter how good a parent, and I'm sure she is, Karen might be, she cannot be a father to her children. And we need to ensconce this idea of motherhood and fatherhood, the notion of it, in our legislation.
All right. We've done a double segment on this for Sunrise, a pretty long debate. So thank you both for putting your point of view. It's an issue that's being discussed in the community.
I think the really compelling point that Wallace leads with at the end is that he wants to legislate all parenting to be male and female. So that means if you have a kid, you can't get divorced.
Exactly.
Just beggars belief, doesn't it? That was Karen Phelps on Friday's Sunrise Show. That was a big segment on the I Do campaign run by Marie Claire. Mm. And look, we always applaud Karen because she's a bolshy lady and she stands up for what's right.
She
so
does.
We adore
stands up
her.
For equality. Bit of a song.
Bit of Dolly.
Oh, that is beautiful, isn't it? Dolly doing I'll Always Love You.
Oh, look, it's very special.
I once saw her do it on Oprah, and she had just her fingernails, and she was just rubbing her fingernails against the other like this and just sang it a cappella. It was beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway. The little vision of you doing that with your nails is kind of disturbing. Can we move on to the international news?
Yes,
what do you reckon?
Noise.
Let's do it. Oh, it's time for the international news, Pete.
And I didn't have my finger on my ear. Sorry.
That's all right. Look, as per usual, this is your opportunity to rant and rave about the church.
Oh, yes,
so go for it.
I'll just get my
You've
soapbox.
You've got some
Hang
issues.
On.
That's fine. And fair enough.
Beautiful. Got my soapbox.
Go gaily forward.
In the United Kingdom, the Church of England has delivered an uncompromising warning to the government against pressing ahead with gay marriage proposals. Now, this is directed at David Cameron, who is the Tory PM of the UK.
Isn't he the guy that just left his kid at the pub on the weekend?
Yeah, by accident.
Yeah.
Oops. There is the threat of an unprecedented clash between church and state over the issue of gay marriage, and it's opened up after the C of E, the Church of England, delivered an uncompromising warning to the government against pressing ahead with these controversial proposals. Introducing same-sex marriage could lead to the church being forced out of its role of conducting weddings on behalf of the state. So the Church of England conducts state weddings. So Prince William and the girl,
Kate,
and obviously Harry.
And they'll do all of Harry's marriages.
three or four of them. They've done all of Andrew's and what have you. So so the Church has said it's warning of a clash between canon law, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and a parliament is likely to put pressure on Cameron to just not do it, and it's quite concerning.
Well, this is very interesting to me because its timing is fitting quite well with David Cameron's backpedalling on marriage equality and moving towards civil union, which you know that I'm particularly not a fan of.
Yes.
So look, they're also in the UK about to choose a new Archbishop of Canterbury to replace the current Dr. Rowan Williams. So look, you know, the debates continue to be very heated as the church continues to grapple with the notion that marriage and, you know, politics and state should not be connected. They've had far too much power over the years.
Indeed.
And it's the separation of church and state that is the only thing that is the voice of reason.
Yes, well, this is the interesting thing because the Church of England, for it to continue its role conducting marriages on behalf of the state, under the current law, anyone who is a resident in England has a legal right to marry his or her Church of England parish church, irrespective of their religious affiliation. So their marriage is recognised by the state, regardless of whether they're Church of England or not. So around a quarter of weddings in the UK already take place in Church of England churches.
But at no point is the gay community saying, I want marriage equality to look like this as it relates to the venue of my marriage vows.
But
it's around the equality that there's been no pressure on the church to provide these ceremonies. I mean, there has been one in the UK recently. Mm. There's been a church in Liverpool that did a civil union with a couple of Liverpoolian guys. Well done. But, you know, I don't think the onus has ever been on the church. I think that's a pressure they take on for themselves. Mm. Or are they feeling that they lose ground at a state level?
They're losing ground at a state level, and I think that's the interesting thing, that because the Church of England is so enshrined with the state and obviously created by Henry VIII after the dissolution of, or his distancing from the Roman Catholic Church, created the High Church of England, became its head, and so the Queen, our current Betty Windsor, is in fact the titular head of the Church of England. And so the meshing of church and state there is undoable.
That's on the record.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the record. But again, my point is that at no point have we said in our fight for equality that our fight for equality must require churches to perform same-sex marriages.
Correct. What the church is saying, this is this veiled threat that's come from the Church of England. They're saying that if you go ahead with this, we won't conduct state marriages.
Awesome. Well, you know, whatever. I mean, there's other churches.
Yes, of course, Presbyterian, Methodist, all
absolutely.
Of
those.
Let's go to Denmark.
You know, flipping the coin.
Yes.
Okay, Denmark has voted in favour of legalising same-sex marriage. Bit of a landslide win, 85 votes to 24.
Mm.
Overwhelming support for marriage equality from the Danish Parliament shows the global momentum for reform, which is continuing to grow.
And this is what Karen was talking about in that piece with Jim
Wallace. Karen is saying, you know, we are so underdeveloped as a country. And the PM was on Q&A last night saying, again, her position is fixed. And she's quite happily ensconced in her de facto relationship. But,
yes.
You know, the bit the PM doesn't get is that she has a choice to get married or be de facto.
That's correct.
We default don't. To it.
Mm, correct.
So, look, they introduced the legislation earlier this year. Prime Minister Helle Thoring-Schmidt said same-sex couples could be married either at the town hall or in the Church of Denmark if a priest was willing. Love it.
Be up to each priest.
Absolutely. Some of the church leaders have expressed some opposition, and that's fine. But surveys are suggesting that as many as 70% of Danish priests would be happy to officiate at a gay wedding. How awesome is that? We're loving
points,
Denmark.
10 points for Denmark. Now, when I was a kid, I was involved with a bit of a sport, a bit of springboard and platform diving.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noted that a teenage diver who is currently vying for a spot in the US Olympic team will be appearing as the Grand Marshal at Indiana's annual LGBT celebration this week, thanks to his two dads.
Good on him.
He's Cambodian-born. He was an orphan. Jordan Pisey Windle was adopted by Jerry Windle in 2000 and has been turning heads since becoming the youngest ever to qualify for the US.
Isn't he about 14 or something?
They're like the young fellow from the UK, 14-year-old, that is going to go on and win everything. It might be Matthew Mitchum.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now this young boy was adopted in 2000 and he's sort of making all sorts of waves in the diving arena, if you'll pardon the very intentional pun. So he's going to lead the Indiana gay pride thing. And his other father, who only several months after he started dating Jerry met this young boy, has said that, you know, from day one they've just hit it off, and the young fellow said, could he call him Puppy, which is
it's very sweet, isn't it?
So yes, he's going to be leading off the Indiana GLBT.
Good on him.
Good on him, I say.
Look, we chased a story a couple of weeks ago with the Red Blood Service, Red Plus, the
Red Cross
Blood Service. Mm. We interviewed the media advisor, Kathy Boland. Mm. Look, following on for that was around some of the changes to same-sex attracted men donating blood. Coming out of the US this week is that Senator John Kerry wants the US Department of Health to end its policy of banning gay or bisexual men from donating blood. This is fantastic. Mm. So he joins Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois only yesterday in sending a letter to the department urging it to move forward with a study that looks at ending the ban, which has been in place since the height of the HIV/AIDS crisis in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands, the policy currently bans any men having sex with men, even since 1977, from donating blood for life.
Mm-hmm.
So it points out that it's been 20 years since they saw, you know, 27 years since vast advances in blood donation and their screening technology has taken place, and it's time to revise the inconsistent and indefensible double standards. And, you know, this guy served in the Senate since 1985. He was a Democratic presidential nominee in 2004. And he said it's time to rely on the science of today, not the myths of 20 years ago. And it was co-signed by senators from Alaska, Colorado, Michigan, Hawaii, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Vermont, and Washington. All of the areas that are leading in equality as well.
Absolutely. And what Kerry points out is that it's inconsistent and indefensible double standard that bans healthy gay and bisexual men for life, yet allows a man who has had sex with an HIV-positive woman to give blood after waiting only 1 year. Again, highlights that double standard.
It did. Back to the church in Uganda again. We've had some worries about this area of Africa for quite some time.
Catholic bishops in Uganda are calling for the revival of the notorious Kill the Gays Bill, despite previously opposing it.
And, you know, thou shalt not kill being one of the Ten Commandments.
For sure.
It's a bit incongruent.
The Anti-Homosexuality Bill, which calls for the execution of gays in Uganda, was effectively shelved last year by the government following sustained pressure from international donor countries. But now the Catholic Church, who were against the bill previously, have now supported the bill. According to the Daily Monitor out of the UK, at the annual conference of the Uganda Joint Christian Council, an ecumenical body which brings together Anglican, Catholic and Orthodox churches, the bishops resolved it should be brought back from the brink.
Wow.
This is really, really, really scary stuff.
It is very scary stuff, and I think we just watched that with interest because, you know, there is a lot of violations of human rights of gay people in Zimbabwe, Uganda and in areas of the Sudan. So, look, moving back to the UK, we have the former UK Defence Secretary, Dr. Liam Fox, saying that gay marriage is not a priority, comparing it to social engineering. This sort of speaks of the Jim Wallace commentary around the gay agenda, the political agenda and the gay mafia. He's told Sky News that the government should concentrate on fixing the economy instead of issues which only affect the metropolitan elite, which is really interesting. He's saying it's a contentious issue, but I have to say that I'm much more in favour of social mobility than social engineering. I think that the vast majority of the public has a different set of priorities, and that I would call the metropolitan, and this is the metropolitan elite, and that, you know, they will be looking for economic and social issues to be dealt with first. So basically he's saying the economy's in crisis. You know, the gays don't have any rights until we get the economy fixed. Well, you know, we're one of the biggest spenders in any economy.
Correct.
We have the highest amount of disposable income, and we have the best taste in most things.
Yes. Dr. Liam Fox, you are on the list.
He's on the list for the Donald tonight.
Now, we're going to talk about this Caden Cowage kid.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Love
Twice
her.
In one show. Alison Moyer. I love it. We just can't get enough of Alison. I'd like to play her every time we come out of a message.
Alison Moyer in the foyer.
Okay, look, cruising the net this morning, looking at gay news on HuffPost, I stumbled across a little lad by the name of Caden Cowger. And he is a little conservative teen.
14 years old.
With
his own radio show.
And he's got his own radio show, and I'd encourage people to log on and look at it. We're going to play some audio shortly, but there's a whole raft of videos there that are all a bit homophobic in nature.
I have a concern that he's picked up the support of another radio presenter from CNN. She's obviously a bit older, and she's supporting this. But I'm quite put out. We need to listen to this.
homosexuality is a belief. It is a it's not mandatory in that person. The person is not born that way, no matter what Lady Gaga says. That person is not born that way. It is a decision. There, I know, it's getting worse where I'm at. I see younger people that is turning to be out to be homosexuals. It's equal, boy and girl both. All of them are starting to turn to homosexuals. We've got about 30 teenagers in this county that I'm at that are homosexuals. And it is sickening. It sickens me. And you know what? I knew these kids. Some of them I was friends with. I knew these teenagers when they were in elementary school. I knew them when they were in the beginning of middle school. And you know what? They were not homosexuals. They just decided all of a sudden, you know, I think I'm going to be gay. And you know, why they are becoming homosexuals, why they are becoming gay, is because they are being encouraged by it. President Obama, it's all right, it's okay, you were born that way. You know what? It gets better. It gets better being, rather than say, you need to turn away from homosexuality, that is a perverted belief, and it is immoral, and it's not natural. But rather than the president saying that, he is saying, homosexuals, you can get married, and it's all right. I mean, it's all right to be gay. We'll make it better for you. It'll be all right. See, I'm not for bullying homosexuals. I believe that it's wrong. But when you're trying to teach them the Word of God, and they consider that bullying? Yeah, I find that a big problem with not being allowed to convert other people to my religion and telling them it is wrong, homosexuality, the belief is condemned by God, and you will go to hell if you continue to follow this belief unless you repent. It's getting to the point where I can't say that anymore. This stupid Fairness West Virginia that is here in West Virginia, there was this kid that was on there, I believe his name was Michael, who said, there was a girl that came up to me and said, we prayed for you in church. We prayed that God would show you the light and you would turn away from your evil and wicked beliefs of homosexuality. The kid made fun of that. And then he came out and was like, oh, poor me, poor. She hurt me. She hurt my feelings. But all she was doing was basically, she was witnessing to him. But he took that as bullying. He took that as bullying. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. When kids or teens are being basically indoctrinated and encouraged to follow homosexuality, with the president saying, it's all right, go ahead and be a homosexual. With the vice president, it's all right, be a homosexual. Barbara Boxer was on TV the other day. It's all right, I used to be against homosexuality, but now I've changed. Now I've accepted the rainbow. I'm going to tell you this, guys. President Obama, Vice President Biden is making kids gay. Obama, oh, if you're encouraging, you are making kids gay. You are saying that it is all right to follow this belief. It is completely natural. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not immoral. They are encouraging kids to think, well, you know what? You know what? They're talking about being a homosexual, and they're saying that there's nothing wrong with being gay. So you know what? I think I might try that out for a little bit. That's what's going on.
Okay, so it's all kinds of wrong.
In the words of my father, I'd like to give him a good swift kick in the ass.
I'd like to do a bit more than that. I think shame on him.
Mm.
Shame on him and his bigotry.
14-year-old boy. And one wonders, he doth protest too much. What I find the hypocrisy of that rant and or his alleged argument is that Obama and Biden are making kids gay. I'm sorry,
young man.
I never
knew they were that powerful. And, you know, he's saying, you know, they think that they're gay. They weren't gay at 12, but they're gay at 14. That implies that it's a choice. You're always gay. You're born gay. You know, you are born that way.
And it's not Obama and Biden that are making the kids gay, young man. That would be your God.
Well, it would also be their parents. You know, my parents, you know, they created me, and the little combination of genes produced this... You know,
bucket of fabulous. Sure.
Bucket of fabulous. We've got a bucket of fabulous across from me. So, you know, I really worry. This is an old lady comment, but I worry about the state of young people.
Yes.
This little redneck has got a great following, and he thinks it's okay to vilify people.
But he's 14 years old.
And then people get onto Twitter about him, and he comes out swinging. He can dish it, but he can't take it.
Well, I think we're going to encourage people to find Caden Cowger now. He's CaidenCowger. Caden Cowger.
All one word.
Find him on Twitter and rip that kid a new one.
Well, no, I think we lead by example, and we do it politely, and we do it diplomatically, and we say, you know what, mate? These are the facts. You know what I mean? It would be so easy. At the end of the day, he's still a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah,
he has the capacity to learn. He has the capacity to evolve. I'm not confident he will because he just seems like a redneck.
Where's he learned all of this that he's spouting from? His parents.
Well, who did he witness it from?
Who's that? Who's up for the Donalds?
I have a feeling Caden might be on the nominees.
Could be on the list.
Download Joy's free iPhone app, joy.org.au.
That time of night, Mr. Dillon, I do believe it's time to talk about the Donald, which
for our
new panel operator is, for David's benefit, it is our homage to Donald Trump, who we believe is a bit of a tool.
Yes.
And has offended our gay sensibilities for quite some time.
Yes.
So each week we nominate people who have simply offended us by being. And you roll out the nominees, and I'm faced with, you know, a heavy heart of choice.
And I presented my lady the nominees again this week. Jim Wallace.
Yeah, he's a standard.
Yes. Lawrence Springboard, who is the fellow from Queensland who's instrumental, along with Campbell Newman, of rolling out all of these, or rolling back all of this funding for GLBT. Gloria Jeans. As a group.
Strong nominee.
Dr. Liam Fox, former UK Defence Secretary. And Caden Cowger.
Oh, look, you know, you've just given me so much fodder. Can I choose a winner and a runner-up?
Yes.
Okay, runner-up.
Good runner-up.
Good runner-up is Jim Wallace for comparing the, you know, the fight for equality for gay people to Nazis.
Yes.
He's a strong runner-up this week. And our winner is quite clearly, in my mind, Caden Cowger.
Yep.
Because he's our little resident redneck, espousing all sorts of revolting bile.
Bigotry.
14 years of age. I think there's very little hope for this young man unless we mobilise our social media space and encourage him to adopt a different way of looking at homosexuality and
Indeed.
Our rights. So, look, you know, Caden, rock on, mate. And you are our winner of the Donald this week.
Very
so,
good.
Look, we've had a really nice show
we
tonight.
Have. Thank you, David, for driving the salt and pepper bus this evening. We might have you back.
Yeah, and you know, I just think, where's our little song, our little afternoon delight?
I think it's coming.
Oh, we played a little bit of Anchorman last week. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did.
That
was, I'd much prefer the original.
Do you really? Mm. Did you like the Glee version?
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about it in the car.
Oh, love, good night.
Good night. God bless.
Thanks, David.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.